40 years ago, on April 25th, 1967, Colorado brought forth to this nation a new law dedicated to the proposition that all men are no longer created equal. Now we are engaged in a great cultural war, testing whether this nation, which routinely destroys the lives of innocent preborn babies, can long endure. On April 25th, please join Colorado Right to Life to commemorate the millions of lives killed by abortion, because our state passed the first law in America allowing children to be killed for the crimes of their fathers. Noted speaker Dr. Alan Keyes will give the keynote address about our God-given rights and why they are far superior to any law written by man. Join us at 1:30 at the state capitol on April 25th to prayerfully put an end to the bloodshed. Stand with Dr. Keyes and Colorado Right to Life as we work to reestablish legal protection for all human life, from fertilization through natural death. For more information, call Colorado Right to Life at 303-753-9394. That's 303-753-9394.
Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Enyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church. Later in today's show, we will continue to discuss what's happening at Virginia Tech and the tragedy and the aftermath. Of course, a number of the friends of Bob Enyart Live, Brian Rohrbaugh and Rich Petrone, frequent guests of this program, have been all over the media talking about the parallels and the lessons we have not learned from Columbine that have repeated themselves so many times. But today, on the internet, at a website, renewamerica.us, Alan Keyes wrote this in an article titled "The Crisis of the Republic," that America is in a crisis so pervasive that our preoccupation with its many symptoms keeps us from appreciating its overall extent. I want to welcome Dr. Alan Keyes to Bob Enyart Live. Welcome, Alan.
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing great, and it's so exciting that you're coming out to Colorado to speak at the Capitol a week from Wednesday, April 25th. Thanks for coming out here.
Well, I'm looking forward to it, and I wouldn't want to miss it. So much good work has been done by people in Colorado since the very beginning of this whole terrible, tragic Holocaust, and I'm just glad to be able to stand with folks to commemorate the efforts of heart and love and faithfulness to God that continue to this day.
Well, that's exciting, and Dr. Keyes, perhaps we could first talk about the killings in Virginia at Virginia Tech before we talk a bit about why you're coming out here on the anniversary of the first abortion law. But perhaps you have seen in the news today that, well, for example, in South Dakota, Rapid City Central High School was under lockdown after a report of someone with a gun on the school grounds. And in fact, then they went on to issue a lockdown for all public schools in that city in South Dakota. This is an epidemic, actually, of violence on school grounds, which you would think should be safe. Could you give us your understanding of why we have such a culture of violence and death in America?
Well, I think it's pretty clear, isn't it? Christ made it very clear, and since he was the Son of God, he's smarter than the rest of us.
Yeah.
And he was clear on the fact that evil begins from the heart. Evil begins from within. We live in an age when people want to pretend that evil comes from external causes or objects or something like this. And the truth is that evil begins where it has always begun, where Christ said it began, where it began from the time we were created, from within the human heart. And that means that if you want to do something about evil, you need to address what is happening to the formation of the heart, to the instruction of the heart, to the education of the heart in this country today. And I think our educational institutions are a case in point. What exactly goes on, particularly in the state atheist institutions of the public schools and public universities, that is aimed at educating the heart, that is consistent with making sure that there is a moral formation, that standards are inculcated and respected, that discipline is exercised, and so that people are also going to be following the discipline that shows respect for other human beings, compassion for other human beings, care for other human beings, that goes beyond a preoccupation with their own success, so that you don't have people getting locked out and isolated in their own nightmare worlds of self-obsession,
who
can end up the way this young man did. There are two sides to this, and I think the side of the heart that is open to evil needs to be educated, and the side of the heart that is open to care and compassion for others, so that we don't leave people isolated and alone, that also is being neglected.
Dr. Keyes, you've been invited to Colorado by Brian Rohrbaugh, who's the president of Colorado Right to Life, and also a Columbine dad. His son Danny was murdered, what was it, 8 years ago this Friday, by Dylan Klebold and Eric Harris. And he was on CBS Evening News, invited by Katie Couric to comment on these school shootings. And he said something that's very similar to what you just said, that America is in a moral free fall because we have kicked God out of our public schools and our legal system is effectively godless. And we've replaced God with evolution, and we've taught millions of people that human beings are animals. And so why should we be surprised when they grow up to act like animals?
I think that's exactly the point. I talk about it in my article today on RenewAmerica.us and have dealt with it in my political career as well as in other forums and venues. We live in a time when wholesale our society is turning its back on its fundamental premise, which is that God exists, and that by his authority, each and every human being is endowed from the moment of creation in the mind of God with inalienable rights and basic dignity that correspond to the will of God, and that must be respected by every institution and government and power and individual in human society and in human existence. That fundamental premise then becomes a solid foundation for moral education, for understanding both our rights, but also the fact that those rights arise from a sense of our obligation to others and to God in terms of fulfilling the basic requirements of his will and his law. That connection between rights and obligation, between rights and respect for the authority of God, which was the bedrock foundation of this nation's life, has not only been neglected, it has been assaulted, it has been pounded to death, it has been discarded and abused by the courts. And we are now coming to the point where anyone who professes it is going to be ridiculed and eventually even persecuted by legal means because they refuse to give up their acknowledgement of God's authority. So I absolutely wholeheartedly agree with him. And I just wish that folks would stop just reacting to these terrible tragedies and start dealing with the underlying reality that is feeding them.
Well, perhaps we could take that a little bit further. You may not have heard about the news out of the Colorado legislature, but they passed a law that requires any sex education program in our public schools to be what they call science-based. And the point of the law is to prohibit abstinence sex education programs by requiring what they call science-based sex education. And Dr. Keyes, science, there are no laws of science that say anything about right and wrong, that say anything about morality. They are basically taking what Eric Harris, the way he worshipped evolution and survival of the fittest and natural selection, our lawmakers, these liberals in our state house, are furthering the idea that our young people are only animals. There's no human component to our sexuality, and they're treating them like animals, and then our young sons and daughters behave like animals.
Well, I think that's quite true, and it's a sad day when we have people trying to pretend that there is a scientific basis for dealing with an aspect of human behavior that must be based on a sense of right and wrong, of what it is right to do and what it is wrong to do, with respect to other human persons at the most intimate level. And what obligations then arise from our actions and behavior, particularly those connected with family and with child rearing, but also those connected with a proper respect for the precious worth and spiritual moral dignity of every other human being, so you never treat them as just physical objects that exist for your pleasure. The whole idea that you can approach matters that have to do with relations between male and female, with sexual activity, so-called, and things of this kind, that you can approach that scientifically means that you approach it with no sense of morality. Because as you've just pointed out, and as every scientist admits, science can provide us with no guide whatsoever when it comes to moral questions. Science can tell us what happens. It can sometimes tell us why it happens. It cannot tell us whether what is happening is right or wrong. Mm. That is something that must take account of the subjective, moral, spiritual reality that we experience as human beings and that cannot, in fact, be scientifically quantified. When legislatures say there's going to be a scientific basis, they're just talking nonsense. And people in our society ought to stop letting these people get away with this. Mm. The word scientific, by definition, means with no moral content. Do people in Colorado really believe that it's possible to approach the issue of sexual relations without any moral ideas whatsoever, so that we don't distinguish, for instance, between force and violence used to procure sexual pleasure? We don't distinguish between the abuse of young children for sexual purposes. We don't distinguish between the unscrupulous disregard for offspring that often attends this kind of sick hedonism. And we just let it all ride? Is that what they're trying to pretend? Because science can't tell us that those things are wrong.
One of the suburbs of Denver, Aurora, has a high school, Smoky Hill High School, public school. And a teacher handed out this assignment, and we read a number of the questions. The instruction said there are no right or wrong answers. And then there were questions about fundamental morality. One of the questions was, if a stranger asked you to have sex for $1,000, what would you do? And this is to young people who are told there are no right or wrong answers. Well, and this is pervasive, Dr. Keyes.
To tell you the truth, we've reached a point, and I'll be talking about it in my series, The Crisis of the Republic, at renewamerica.us. It's going to be a series of articles over the next several weeks, really attempting to deal with this crisis in all its various manifestations. And I think that what you are describing there, this idea that somehow or another you're going to be asking questions that are basically moral in nature and acting as if there's no right or wrong answer.
Right.
Well, that means there's no right or wrong answer to the question of whether it's okay to enslave somebody.
Of course.
Whether it's okay to brutalize people and force them to do work in your factory because you control the military. Whether it's right or wrong that somebody who has the military power and means should take over the government and make everyone else in the society do their bidding, fill their pockets with money, provide them with women, the way tyrants and despots have done for thousands of years. The very idea that we must respect equality and human dignity, these are moral ideas. Mm. If there's no right or wrong answer, then whoever is strongest, whoever is smartest, whoever will do the most evil and lie the most successfully, then has the title to get away with whatever they please.
Yeah.
This is not just wrong-headed. It's evil. And the people in our society who are now standing for this evil are leading us down a road that eventually will force people of conscience to break with them, because they're destroying the very foundations of civil life. And there can be no civil society with people who will not respect its basic premises.
They
need to stop and think about what they're doing. They're taking it for granted that people will just sit on their hands while their children are turned into moral monsters. Mm. And while they inculcate into society, devil may care, let the hindmost take care of themselves, give the power to the strongest and the most unscrupulous mentality. We're not going to take it. And I think people are sick and tired of living in the cesspool that's being created by it.
Well, you're exactly right. We are speaking to Dr. Alan Keyes, who spent 11 years with the U.S. State Department. He served under Ronald Reagan as Assistant Secretary of State for International Organizations. We call him Ambassador. He was America's Ambassador to the United Nations, serving our sovereign interest in the U.N. General Assembly. Dr. Keyes, today on one of Denver's main radio stations, KHOW Radio, we have the troubleshooter, Tom Martino. He was speaking of the murder of 32 people in Virginia Tech, and he said there is nothing we can do to prevent these killings, and really, things are not that bad. We have been living for so long in an epidemic of crime, rape, and murder that people are comfortable with this degree of lawlessness, and it is not true that there is nothing we can do to stop this kind of a crime epidemic.
Well, of course we can. But it's not something that involves gun control and external constraints. It's something that involves getting back to the common sense that over thousands of years human beings have developed with respect to the need for a moral basis for society and an educational system that reflects the moral premises of social life in decency, and that therefore raises children up from their youngest years to know that with respect to basic moral issues, there are right answers and wrong answers, and that people should respect the right answers and strive to be the kind of people who in their words and actions will give those answers, who have some sense that there's more to life than material success and hedonistic pleasure, and who instead understand that what makes us distinctly human is precisely our capacity for moral understanding, for spiritual growth, and ultimately for understanding that there is a God and that our relationship with him must color our lives and condition our relations with others. That's what it means to be a human being. What these people are trying to do is turn us into depraved animals with no sense of our humanity so that they will be better able, I suppose, to exploit and brutalize and control us. And I think it's time that people woke up and stopped letting it take place. We don't have to live in this moral cesspool. But the only way out of it is to reestablish, indeed to demand, that there be a reestablishment of basic moral education and moral principle, and that we stop the wholesale assault that has been taking place on religion and faith and the Bible, so that people can once again get back to tending to the basic business that can solve this problem by addressing from the earliest years the matters that affect the human heart and the human conscience.
Dr. Alan Keyes, I was invited to a dinner by Brian Rohrbaugh, president of Colorado Right to Life, with Josh McDowell. Perhaps you've heard of him, author, researcher. And Josh McDowell pointed out that after speaking to millions of young people on college campuses around the world, 30 years ago, when he would say that Jesus Christ is the Savior, students would say, "What proof do you have of that?" 20 years ago, they would say, "What right do you have to say that?" Now, 15 years ago, students are saying there's no such thing as right and wrong. And for the past 5 years, our college students are saying there's no such thing as truth. They're even denying that truth exists.
Well, that's what they're being taught. And of course, a lot of people don't immediately get what you and I do, the implication of the statement there is no truth. If there is no truth, there are no self-evident truths. If there are no self-evident truths, then the notion that we're all created equal and endowed by our Creator with certain unalienable rights has no more status than the statement that my dog has fleas. It's all irrelevant. And that means that human societies need not look to any standards of justice and decency, of right and wrong, of goodness and legitimacy, and that it's all a matter of what you can get away with. Well, and I think if you think about it, think of the movies, think of the television shows, think of the music and so forth, that mentality that life is about what you can get away with and whatever you feel like doing, you just have to develop a strategy, call it a lifestyle, that allows you to get away with it. And if it's at somebody else's expense, just make sure you're good enough to get away with it and strong enough to take care of of any opposition. That notion was characteristic of the worst kind of despotism, tyranny, paganism, and brutalization. And it was discarded in light of the developments that came about, mainly, by the way, because of the insights that were provided by Christianity and the understanding that there's a basis for ethical behavior that goes beyond calculation and material interest and that rests in the end on fundamental ideas of right and wrong.
Absolutely. When someone murders an innocent person, let's say they are an atheistic evolutionist, and then there's someone who, in the name of Christ, kills an innocent person, which has been done through history. That's true. The difference is that Jesus Christ condemns the murder of the one who's naming him, naming Christ. Whereas atheistic evolution, survival of the fittest, Darwinism cannot condemn when a stronger organism destroys a weaker because it has no morals. It's
Darwinism
godless.
Just takes note of that, kind of waits to see which strong organisms win out so that they can then declare that evolution has occurred in some direction or other. This is irrelevant to the choices that we must make with respect to justice, with respect to right and wrong, with respect to decency, with respect even to things like the compassion that we owe to the poor and the disabled and others. We live in a society where people will pay lip service to that compassion, and then they encourage, as they're doing in the Colorado legislature, the adoption of an understanding that utterly destroys the notion that the strong owe anything to the weak, that the healthy owe anything to the sick, that the fortunate owe anything to the less fortunate. So they're living with total contradiction, destroying the moral basis of the very things that they will, with the other side of their mouth, praise and say are so wonderful. Can't live that way. Need to have a sense of basic principle that then allows you to speak and act consistently, and to do so, by the way, even when you're sinning, so that you'll at least recognize the nature of your wrongdoing. And if you lose that basic sense, then society is utterly lost in darkness and confusion, and that's where we're being pushed. And I have to say one final thing. You know who I blame for a lot of this?
Who's that?
You're going to find it an unusual statement, but I'm more and more coming to the conclusion it is. I blame people who profess to be Christians, and yet who have been unwilling to stand up, bear witness, take a stand, and insist in their capacity as citizens that the law respect the basic grounds of right and decency. I blame them. I think things are getting out of control in this country because too many people who know better have simply sat on their hands or have made dirty little political bargains where they're voting for people who will put money in their pocket or cut their taxes, and they're not looking at whether or not they're killing innocent babies in the womb, destroying the moral foundations of family life, and utterly corrupting the educational system in our school. That doesn't matter. That takes second place. That will be put at the hind end. And I think that people like that, who pretend that they care about what's right and who profess to be followers of the one who represented the notion that the standard of God's will is higher than every other, and who then go about making these dirty bargains and compromising and choosing the lesser of evils while they collect material benefits at the expense of this nation's moral future, they're the people who ought to be examining their conscience, examining their behavior, and understanding that this country would never have been founded, never have dealt with any moral crisis, including that of slavery, civil rights, the women's vote, the treatment of children, if Christians in the past had been like a lot of them today.
Wow. Dr. Keyes will be coming to Denver on April 25th. That's a week from Wednesday. And Dr. Keyes, when you get here, you'll be speaking at the Capitol. The event by Colorado Right to Life marks the 40th anniversary to the day of the signing of the first abortion law in America, in Colorado. Abortion, basically in the hard cases, they say, for rape and incest and so on. Well, when you come, Dr. Keyes, I think you are going to be exhilarated yourself to see the kind of leadership in Colorado, the new vision, the determination to fight abortion as though it actually is the killing of innocent children, because of course that is what it is. Judy Brown will be here. You know Judy Brown, don't you?
Oh, I know her very well. She's one of my favorite people and also a guide in terms of her conscience and the integrity of the stand she's taken over the years.
Somebody
I use as kind of a litmus test of my own actions.
She absolutely is. And Dr. Key, she has recently endorsed a vision for a new strategy that has been coming out of Colorado called Focus on the Strategy. And you are the keynote speaker at the event at the Capitol a week from Wednesday in the afternoon. But then you'll also get to see this Focus on the Strategy being promoted by Colorado Right to Life. It's exciting. And then that evening, there will be a dinner downtown Denver at Maggiano's Italian Restaurant. And Dr. Keyes will be there, Reverend Flip Benham, Judy Brown, Brian Rohrbaugh. It's going to be an extraordinary day. So I urge people listening to come on out Wednesday, April 25th, 1:30 at the Capitol, and 7 o'clock that night at Maggiano's. So, Dr. Keyes, we want to be considerate of your time, but one last question I have for you. As we fight this issue of abortion, we also have here in Colorado something that is happening elsewhere. Our Denver Children's Hospital consulted with the parents of a 4-year-old boy, Dylan Walborn. This was documented at length in the Denver Post, and they suggested to the parents that because Dylan was so handicapped, it would be acceptable to starve him to death. And the Denver Post documented the process. It took 24 days for Dylan to be starved to death, and he finally died. And what we have happening in Denver with the support and leadership of Denver's Children's Hospital is the euthanizing of children who are handicapped.
You know, this is so barbaric, I can't even express the anguish I'm feeling as you talk about it.
Yes.
It, of course, reminds us of the horrible judicial murder of Terry Schiavo, but it ought to be seen by people as a natural and necessary logical consequence of having embraced this so-called choice doctrine that allows us to believe that it is for human beings to choose whether they will respect the most fundamental law of God, which dictates respect for innocent life. We take that in our hands, and then what happens? We start down this road of shiftless calculation so that eventually, in the case that you described, the life of an innocent babe is being discarded in such a way as to suggest that there is no value to the disabled, that there is no value to anyone who does not correspond to some standard of perfection that we shall, like Nazis, apply to them. When are we going to realize that we are walking down the very road that so many of our forebears sacrificed their precious lives to keep the world from experiencing? It was precisely this kind of sick, calculating mentality that the Nazis represented, that the first people they assaulted, many people forget this, were the disabled,
the
mentally handicapped, the people whom they described as existing without worth and existence without life. And this notion, therefore, that if you don't satisfy some yardstick that satisfies the material notions, your life has no worth, means that we human beings are substituting for God, and basically we're going to start slaughtering, as we already have slaughtered, innocent babes in the womb in the name of our own convenience, in the name of our own standards of perfection. This would inaugurate an era that would turn the 20th century into the graveyard, both of human bodies and human conscience. And I think we ought to realize that when we fight the pro-life battle, when we fight the battle for traditional marriage, when we fight the battle to prevent this kind of sick infanticide,
yes,
we are fighting the battle that will determine whether this century we're entering into will be a century of hope or a century of horrors that will make the horrors of the 20th century look like a dress rehearsal.
Thank you, Dr. Keyes. I want you to know that the members of Denver Bible Church will be praying for you this week, as will the audience of Bob and Yurt Live. We can't wait to see you. Thank you, Dr. Keyes.
Well, thank you for taking the time. Bye-bye.
God bless you. Maranatha Christian Center, what a great school.
On April 25th, join Colorado Right to Life as they remember the 40th anniversary of the first abortion law ever passed in America by Colorado. Noted speaker Dr. Alan Keyes will give the keynote address at 1:30 at the state capitol. Then join Dr. Keyes, Judy Brown, and Flip Benham at a special dinner Wednesday evening at Maggiano's. Tickets are $100 per person and will sell out. Be a part of this special evening with Dr. Keyes, Wednesday, April 25th. To make your reservations, call 303-753-9394. 303-753-9394.